the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. We're going to be talking about one of America's major problems today, and it's one that's off the screens of a lot of parents where it, frankly, should be front and center, and that is the problem of pornography. And there are an awful lot of parents who, I think, naively assume that their children are protected from this, and that's just usually not the case. And I can guarantee you, unless you as parents are taking some very specific steps and assuming a very major responsibility in this matter, then you're fooling yourselves if you think that your kids don't have access to and exposure to pornography. We're going to talk about the plague of pornography, the way it's getting in American homes, the way it's getting in the minds of American young people, and the effect it's having on marriage and life and all the rest. And that's coming up starting in the second segment. And, of course, we want you to get ready to call. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Review of the news. Currently, the Washington Times is reporting that there is a new plague around the world. It's not an infectious disease. It is American culture. Now, let me start, even before I go after this, by saying that if you want a critique of American culture that talks about how bad certain things are, you've come to the right place. Because I would be front and center in terms of critiquing where we are in terms of the morality of Hollywood and all the rest. But that's not what this is really all about. This particular news story is about French President Jacques Chirac, who recently visited Hanoi in Vietnam and accused the United States of spreading, quote, a generalized underculture in the world, end quote. He went on and called this a juggernaut of crassness. He said if it's unchecked, it will stamp out whatever folkways and native idiosyncrasies lie in its path. Quote, all other countries would be stifled to the benefit of American culture, he said. If there was a single language, a single culture, it would be a real ecological disaster. Well, that's really fascinating. You know, there are some people who could probably make this kind of argument, but of all the people in the world who I think would be least equipped and credible to make this argument, it is the president of France. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been to France. My family and I were in France this summer, and there is certainly a coarseness and a crudeness to American culture, but you know what? At least we're not France. You know, at the end of the day, the one thing we can always say is, well, at least we're not France. Here, in terms of such things as public nudity, crassness about sexuality, and all the rest, there are at least some scruples remaining. But let me take you to the French Riviera, or to the parks of Paris, or to other parts of France. Jacques Chirac here is the worst form of French elitism. And of course, the irony in this is incredible. Remember where he was speaking, Hanoi? How fitting is it that the French president went to attack America in Hanoi in Vietnam? Let's just rehearse a little bit of history here. The French used to have that entire area of Indochina, including Vietnam, as a colony. They enslaved those people. They got involved in a war. They couldn't fight the war. They messed things up. They left, and they begged the United States to come in. No sooner did the United States come in than French President Charles de Gaulle then began to attack America for doing what France had requested. And now Jacques Chirac, a paragon of hypocrisy, goes to Hanoi in order to attack America. And when you're talking about the crassness of American culture, you know, if you ask me about what is troubling about American culture, I would talk about pornography. I would talk about the violence. I would talk about our video games and our exported movies. And I would talk about many of the things that cause me to have moral concern. But you know what he's really upset about? The grave threat of the infectious contagion of the Golden Arches. It's McDonald's and Coca-Cola he's worried about. And by the way, you know one of the big deals that's going on in France right now? They are having to put on import restrictions on American movies. You know why? Because French people want to see American movies. And French theaters are beginning to carry American movies, and they go to see the American movies, not the French movies. Au contraire, says the French government. That can't be. We're going to put limits on that. And so in the spirit of free enterprise, which, by the way, is a foreign concept in France, The French government is now saying that we have to protect our own people from America. Now, if you read this article and you come to understand the speech that Jacques Chirac gave, I think one of the worst parts of this is the condescension it represents towards the people of the world. Do you know why people in Indonesia buy Big Macs? It's because they like them. Do you know why people in Antigua drink Coca-Cola? It's because they like it. Now, when you talk about this kind of cultural imperialism, what they're really talking about is they hate American presence in the world. They hate the American culture. They consider it cheap. They consider it tawdry. And let me tell you that what really gets them is right across the street from the Louvre is the Golden Arches, is McDonald's. You go to St. Mark's Square in Venice, and just off the square is McDonald's. And you know people are lining up. This isn't a commercial for McDonald's. It's simply a statement that people go where they want to go. People buy what they want to buy. And this is just too much for the French. People are not going in to buy French cuisine. They're buying French fries at McDonald's. And it's killing them. Well, there you have it. We had Hanoi Jane a few years ago. Now we have Hanoi Jacques. And he is there to spill his condescension and elitism. Speaking of Jacques, Cheryl Jacques, the ousted chairman of the Human Rights Campaign, that's one of America's major homosexual rights organizations, is now making clear that she got ousted because she wants to press the same-sex marriage issue, and she wants to press it without reservation. She's not buying into the argument being made by some in the homosexual community that they need to back off just a little bit because it created a backlash in the election of November the 2nd of the last year. She's saying no. She says this: if we all take a vow of silence and never mention gay marriage again, do you really think George Bush is not going to raise the federal marriage amendment again? They're going to use that issue whether we vow never to touch it or not. It's silly to believe that somehow our enemies, those who support discrimination, are going to play by the rules and not raise the issue if we don't. End quote. Well, Ms. Jacques, let me just bring up, there are no rules. That's what's so insane about this. It's all a matter of who wins the minds of Americans. And, you know, she can continue to press the issue, but I don't believe she's going to win the minds of Americans. The only hope those who are pressing for same-sex marriage have is to go over the heads of the American people to the courts to look for a judicially imposed solution to what they're looking for. And so we move from Jacques Chirac to Cheryl Jacques. Then we move to the United States Senate, the Judiciary Committee, where hearings are being held for Attorney General nominee Alberto R. Gonzalez. And it's been a fascinating thing. If you've been watching the media coverage, you know that the word torture has been often used here. And what you see from the left is the accusation that Alberto Gonzalez has, as White House counsel, defended the use of terror. Let's look at that a little more closely. If you actually look at what, as White House counsel, Mr. Gonzalez did, he gave an advisory to the White House about how the White House should approach the whole issue of the war in Iraq in terms of how people are to be treated and what are the limits of interrogation. Now, what really gets me in this is that there are some persons who go immediately to use the word torture, and they're applying it in places because, of course, we're supposed to be opposed to torture. We know that. But when you consider some of the issues here they are defining as torture, you come to understand that some of these people would want an interrogation in which they say, would you please give us some information? Would you please betray your friends and your cause? And we won't do anything that could be in any way harmful to you. Now, again, I'm not apologizing for the use of terror. I'm not suggesting that terror is the right thing to use, that torture is ever a right approach. But we need to understand that we need to know what we're talking about here. And the casual use of this term is not only politically reckless, it is morally harmful. Because when you use the word torture where we're not talking about torture, then you're creating a situation in which we really can't have an enlightened conversation about this. And, of course, if you're looking at the issue of torture, you have to realize that categorically it's wrong. But in certain contexts, you know, I believe that even the people who say they would never use torture under any circumstance could come up with a circumstance where, if they were honest, they would use some sort of coercion in order to get some information, in order to save a larger number of lives. Now, that's a difficult moral calculus. There's no doubt about it. But this kind of categorical statement really doesn't help. In the end, I am confident that Alberto Gonzalez is going to be confirmed as the new attorney general, but the grandstanding is pretty difficult to see. Well, we all need warnings. Evidently, there are warning statements on everything. We talked about McDonald's a little bit ago. After an infamous tort case, McDonald's now prints on their cups a warning that if it's hot, you should not hold it in your lap. We are a society that has the most ridiculous warning things, and every once in a while, you need to be reminded of this. The Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch has put out a list of the most egregious warnings of the past year. One is a toilet brush that says do not use for personal hygiene. The second prize went to Matt Johnson of Naperville, Illinois for a label on a children's scooter that said, this product moves when used. But to cap it all off, and I don't understand why this is only third prize, Anne Marie Taylor of Camden, South Carolina turned in a warning from a box for a digital thermometer that said, once used rectally, the thermometer should not be used orally. Well, thank you for that reminder. We're living in a strange world when you have to have this kind of warning. Folks, listen to the program, but don't listen to it in the bathtub with the radio plugged in. That's my warning. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. The issue is pornography, and it's one of the biggest issues in America today. Often we talk about it on this program in terms of the impact of pornography on lives, on marriages, on families, on the economy, you name it. The pervasiveness of this problem is something that I think most of us know at the cultural level, but I think there are some people, and I'm speaking here specifically of the people that most matter, and that is parents, who are unaware of the effect it is having among the young, and especially young boys and young men. Because it happens to be boys and men who are most susceptible to the lure of pornography and who end up being most corrupted by this particular scourge. Now, I'm raising this because just in recent weeks, I've received a good many emails from listeners and others, readers of my internet commentaries at crosswalk.com, who've been writing in saying that they've all of a sudden discovered this problem with their teenage son, with their husband sometimes, but especially with the young. That's the issue that's really getting me right now. There are an awful lot of parents who seem to be absolutely shocked that this problem is out there. And they're all of a sudden discovering it, usually in some awful way, and they seem absolutely confused about what to do about it. Let me just back up for a moment and tell you what's going on here. It used to be that if a teenager or a young guy wanted to go out and get pornography, he was going to have to be pretty adventuresome. And he was perhaps going to have to be pretty clever. Now, even in the 60s and the 70s, when I was a kid and a teenager in the 70s, it was possible to see pornography. My exposure to pornography took place mostly in the locker room of my high school, where, quite frankly, the coaches allowed kids to tape up all kinds of stuff. And I can remember every time a locker was opened, there was a good chance there was some naked person staring out from it, naked girl or naked woman. And, you know, I didn't ask for that. I wasn't going around, collecting pornographic magazines. All I was doing was going to class in PE, and I got confronted with that. And by the way, if you think your teenage son is protected from all this, you better rethink and do a quick inventory, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But it used to be the situation that if you wanted to buy one of these magazines, you'd have to go in, and you'd have to look old enough to buy it, or you'd have to go to some seedy part of town. It used to be that the videos that were clearly pornographic, Triple X and all the rest, they were in those little box cinemas that were out on the corner, you know, out in the back part of town, out on the other side of the tracks, out near the interstate, out in the commercial district. It's not that way anymore. And it's because of a couple of things. First of all, our entertainment culture has been so transformed that the line between pornography and what is legally not considered pornography is now very thin and ambiguous. And so, quite frankly, one of the problems we have with pornography is that parents think, hey, my kid can't go see Triple X whatever, but he's watching Baywatch. And that's nothing more than a dressed-up pornography. And then you've got other issues, too, and it's not just the coarseness of the culture that has now defined deviancy down. That's Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the late senator's way of describing this. It's also the fact that there is now an information superhighway that is coming into almost every American home. Right now, just an interesting little factoid, there are more personal computers sold in America right now each year than televisions. And that ought to tell you a whole lot, because for a long time it was the television that was the main conduit of this kind of filth, especially with the advent of cable television and the pay-for-view movie offerings. But now it's just all the stuff that comes in through the Internet. And this kind of pornography is not only just a couple of clicks away, it will come to you. If you have an email address that doesn't have adequate protection, or even if you think it does have adequate protection, you're going to find all kinds of unwanted spam from pornographers. Some of it won't even look like an advertisement for pornography. You open it up, and there you have it. And then, of course, you have the explicitly pornographic sites. And even though these are usually required by law to say they are for adults only, and the users have to say they're 18 or older, well, I mean, after all, if a kid wants to see it, he's going to lie. If he's going to go looking for pornography, he's going to be willing to say he's 18. That's no protection at all. What we have is a culture that is now so open for pornography that it's like just opening the gate on the sewer and letting everything out. And if you are not careful, it's coming right into your home. Now, I'm hearing from a lot of parents, especially through emails and in conversations in local churches, where they're telling me, look, what's happening is I'm discovering. We're checking the history file on the computer. Or all of a sudden, we're looking at what's going on. Or the computer crashes and we have to have it fixed. And we discover that that these programs are on it. These sites have been visited. And it's Junior who's been looking at them. It's our teenage son. Sometimes it's younger than teenage. But certainly you get adolescent boys that are very susceptible to this, and young men, college students, and all the rest. And it's a real scourge for adults as well. But as much as adults bear their own responsibility for this, what I'm really concerned about today is parental responsibility to make certain that you are taking both the technological and the teaching responsibility to make sure that your kids, your daughters, and especially your sons are protected from this. Now, one of the things we need to look at is the effect of pornography. What is really going on here? Because I think there are even some Christian parents who'll say, I know it's wrong. I don't want my son looking at dirty pictures. I don't want him looking at naked women. But boys will be boys, and that's just something to be expected. Well, God put this sex drive into that young man for a purpose, and that purpose is to cause him to be so uncomfortable the way he is that he will grow up. He will mature. He will grow up and get ready and prepare himself for marriage. Because that's what God has intended that sex drive to lead him to desire, marriage, and all that comes with marriage. But that is a reality. We all know that sex drive is in a fallen world, so easily perverted, so easily distorted and manipulated. And that's what pornography really does. With the viewing of pornography, a male in his system has an entire explosion of reactions. Some of them chemical, some of them physical, many of them mental, some of them emotional. There are literally chemicals released into the brain known as endorphins. These are chemicals that are powerfully addictive. They go to the pleasure center of the brain. They cause excitement. You take one of these teenage guys looking at pornography, his breathing starts to slow down. He doesn't blink as often. And, of course, there are other elements of what happens within him as well as he becomes very excited looking at this. All of these images become burned on his brain like a computer hard drive. And one of the issues here is that it takes more and more to get the same effect. It takes more pictures. It takes more video. It takes more exposure. It takes more perversion. And what happens is that you have these young guys who have literally thousands of mental images of pornography in their minds. And it corrupts the way they look at women. It corrupts the way they look at sex, and quite frankly, it's going to corrupt in many ways their marriage life. They're going to have trouble with this in marriage because their expectations about sex are not only going to be affected by their sin nature, but by the fact they have this sexual material, this perverted material that is literally burned on their brains and engraved on their souls because of exposure to pornography. Now, we're going to talk about what parents can do. Number one, you've got to have a filter system, and I mean a real filter system. You have to have something on your computer that is going to block the ability of a user safely and easily to go to these pornographic sites. But that's not going to be enough. I want to inform parents that one of the main things you need to do is put a reporting software on your computer so that there is some way of tracking where that computer goes. Some reporting system that tells you. Because there are ways of getting around the history file, getting around the kind of temporary files on the computer, but there's no way to get around some of these computers that track everywhere that computer has gone. Dad, you have to have a talk with your sons about this. You must tell them of your expectation, and you've got to tell them just how you're going to hold them accountable. Go in and check what's in the kid's room. Go and have an honest conversation. Find out what's on that kid's mind and on that kid's heart. Dad, if you don't take action here, you're going to have big trouble. And Mom and Dad, this is a parental responsibility. I'd love to hear from some parents who can get some firsthand testimony on this. You'd be an encouragement to other parents to do the right thing here. We need to save our kids from this kind of disaster and this kind of plague. Give us a call. The phone number, 877-893-8255. 877-893-8255. Pornography is not just an issue to talk about. Fellow parents, it's an issue to do something about. We'll be right back. I'm Albert Mohler.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking about the problem of pornography and especially focusing on parental responsibility. And I want to put a little more content out there so we understand kind of what we're talking about. And one of my frustrations is the number of parents who seem to be surprised about this problem. I'm going to say a statement here, and I mean it just as clearly as I say it. If you allow your teenage son unrestricted access to the internet, you're just taking him into a pornographic palace because it is so easy to get there. And don't think he's not one way or another going to be seduced and lured into going there. He may be a good kid. He may have absolute determination not to go there. But at some point, it's going to come to him. And that's why you've got to put not only the trust in your son, which needs to be a trust that is earned, but you also need to put the protections for him. That's why boys have parents. That's why God put parents where they are, and that's why dads in particular, who can understand what's going on with the son better than anyone else, need to take the responsibility to put these protections in place. And then it's not just what goes on in your home. Quite frankly, it's what goes on anywhere he goes. What about his friends' houses he goes to? What kind of movies are in the cabinet there? What kind of computer access is available there? What kind of magazines are going to be pulled out of the drawer over there? And, you know, one of the things that just perpetually frustrates me is how many moms, now ladies, don't be offended by this, just please hear me, how many moms don't get it? They think that their wonderful little boy would not be into this. And you know what? When he was 8 or 9, he probably wouldn't be. But as he gets into his teenage years, it's going to be very hard to resist this temptation, and that's why the boundaries have to be put there. I want you to join the conversation. Some of you may have an exhortation to other parents. Some of you might just have a word you want to offer on this, personal experience or otherwise. We really need to involve parents in this conversation. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're going to go to Daniel calling from Cleveland, Ohio, listening on WHK. Daniel, go right ahead.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Mohler, in Judaism, there is a ritual called Bar Mitzvah, where the boy becomes a man. And the fascinating part about it is it's being done at 13 years old. My comment is the age restriction, which in the States is 18 and 21, I believe is already a problem. In Judaism, a man becomes at 13 years old. In other words, if nowadays in the States a 15, 16-year-old commits a murder, he will not be tried as an adult. And that's already a problem. It's probably there is a reason when at 13 years old, at this age, a man becomes interested in what he is supposed to become interested in. Maybe I think that I'm not trying to come up with a solution, but maybe a part of it, maybe the age when parents should start talking about it is much earlier than 18, 16, 15, and even 14. I mean, it's a over 2,000-year-old tradition when men become men at 13 years old.
And for good reason, Daniel. Thanks for your call. And, you know, there is a reminder that's real central in Daniel's point, and that is that this starts earlier than people would think. And I don't think we're ready to give 13-year-olds the vote or a driver's license, but let's face it. When they're entering adolescence, puberty, and all the rest, all this is going on. And don't think they don't have access. They have unprecedented access to all this material, not only through the internet, through other things. I mean, there are complicating factors here. There are a lot of parents who are working in homes where the kids come home and they're alone. And they can go to other homes where there are no parents in the home, and they're alone there, and they can do just about anything. They can go just about anywhere they want to go on the internet. All that without anyone ever knowing. And what's being filled into their minds, poured into their minds, and written on their hearts is pornographic filth, and don't think it will not have an effect. Daniel's idea, by the way, about a bar mitzvah kind of model is also instructive in another way, and this is that we need to have a way of welcoming teenage boys into manhood and showing them what the responsibilities of manhood really are. Now, whether that's a ceremony or what I think is even more important, a long process that starts this going, we've got to go there. Puberty is coming earlier than ever before in human history. Maybe it's because of health, hormones, additives in the food, who knows? but it's coming earlier for both boys and girls, and that means that that period between puberty and marriage is just getting longer. And that just means there's more dangerous terrain there for us to take into account. We're talking about the problem of pornography, and it's not a problem just somewhere else. It's a problem everywhere. And if you're not taking the right precautions, it's a problem right in your home. Know it or not. If it hasn't happened yet, it will. We're going to talk about that when we come back. We want you to join the conversation. Give us a call, 877-893-8255. 877-893-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back. The issue is pornography, looking especially at parental responsibility, and I'd love to hear from some parents who've had to deal with this. It would really, really help just to have some of you, because there are thousands and thousands out there right now who could call and say, look, this is a problem I had to deal with. We dealt with it. This is how we dealt with it, and encourage other parents to do just the same. The number is 877-893-8255. That's 1-877-893-TALK. This problem is more complex than first appears. You not only have the internet, you also have email, and you have instant messaging, and you have the ability to send through different kinds of technologies these digital files filled with what could be thousands of pictures. You also have the toll calls for sex talk on the phone, and you have all these different things that are available. And, you know, quite frankly, you and I both know that a lot of retail outlets are not policing this, even in terms of age. You've got 15, 16, 17-year-olds that are walking out with product that is immoral under any circumstances, and it is clearly illegal when sold to a minor. And so, you know, parents have to be aware this is a 24/7 responsibility. I'm going to go back to the fact you have to have a filter on your computer. You need to have access to your computer very closely monitored. You know, if you've got teenagers and kids, that computer needs to be used in a public place. And I don't mean in the mall. I mean in your home. It needs to be used in the kitchen or in the family room, somewhere where no one's going to hide away to make invisible where he's going on the internet. And you also need a reporting system so you can know exactly where that computer has gone. And if you don't, you better not only assume the worst, you can pretty much know the worst. Let's go to Dan, also listening on WHK, calling from Homeworth, Ohio. Dan, welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Bowler. It's a real pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you, Dan. Go right ahead.
I just really want to say to parents, monitor, because I lived a 25 plus year problem with pornography, and it completely changes your psyche, and it just kills your soul, and then you throw in drugs like I had a drug problem also, and then alcohol. And I only did this stuff once a week, so I thought I was in control of it. And the next thing you know, your whole life is basically falling apart. I was blessed last spring. The Lord delivered me from it, delivered me from all of my drug problems, giving me back my wife and my life. But really, for the parents, keep on top of this, because it's not just something like they make it look on TV. It's just, you know, a harmless little thing. It's not. It's something that just controls your life and every aspect of it. I mean, I used to, you know, I'd flip on the radio and I would insert my own sexually explicit lyrics to any song that would come out. I mean, it was like on my mind.
It just takes over. Dan, very much. We appreciate your call. There's no testimony like firsthand testimony. And we've got to move on to some other callers here. But I tell you, I don't want to move on without getting Dan's very, very powerful point. And parents, if you were listening, when he said monitor, he's really talking about what you've got to do here. And I am so thankful. And, Dan, I just want to tell you how thankful I am that God's done this work in your life of restoration to free you from this and also to bring you back, you know, into a relationship with your wife. That's just a wonderful demonstration of God's grace. But you know what, parents? It should be your responsibility to shield your kids lest this happen. You need to prevent this from happening. Not just looking for healing on the other side of the hurt. Let's do our very best to keep them from getting hurt in the first place. Let's go to Mark calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA radio. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, Dr. Mueller, I just want to say I agree with everything you've said. And one of the things I think that bothers me as a Christian is when I speak with other Christian fathers, I'm not even sure they really view it as a big problem. Doesn't seem to be the concern that I would expect. You know, I'm very concerned about my 11-year-old son and whether or not he has access, and I monitor it completely. But other fathers seem to think it's no big deal. Well, if they find it, it won't harm them. And it really bothers me from a Christian standpoint. I don't think that Christian fathers maybe even recognize the danger that's there.
You know, Mark, there are certain forms of insanity. It takes a psychiatrist, I guess, to deal with and to diagnose. I won't go there, but let me tell you, that sounds like a form of insanity to me. Maybe it's moral insanity. But what kind of Christian dad would say, it doesn't matter if my son gets exposed to this kind of pornography? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me at all. I've got no category for that. You know, it's like taking him through the swamp filled with venomous snakes and saying, don't worry about where you put your foot. You know, and if you get bitten, don't worry about it. You know, we'll take you to the emergency room and you can get a shot. You know, it's just insane. Mark, God bless you. You got an 11-year-old son. I've got a 12-year-old, soon to be 13. And I tell you, you know, that is our responsibility, you know, to keep them off of that. My son's got access to a computer in terms of doing his homework and stuff, but there's no internet connection. I mean, it's pretty much word processing. He can get to the internet only when I allow him on the internet. And then also we have absolute tracking to know everywhere that computer's gone. And even then, you know, things will work their way towards a user. It may come in spam and email. It may come with pop-ups that come up on different pages. If you don't have a good filtering system and if you're not vigilant, and I don't mean just vigilant and making sure you're paying the bill, but vigilant in terms of looking at the computer and checking it yourself, then you're making your own children really at risk. You're making them you're putting them in a position of incredible vulnerability. Thanks for your call, Mark. I appreciate it. We're going to go quickly to Gerald, listening on XM Satellite from Macon, Georgia. Gerald, go right ahead.
Good evening, Al. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Gerald. Good to hear from you.
That's good. I just want to give people some comments from somebody that's on the other side. If I can get through this, it will destroy you. It hadn't destroyed my marriage, but fortunately, thanks to the grace of God, we're still married. But I've been married 10 years, and my wife doesn't know about it. But I started looking at porn probably when I was a little child. I remember it started looking at like a JCPenney catalog. I looked through the lingerie section. And now I'm in my mid-30s, and I still look at it. And just to reiterate what you said in the beginning, it's just like any other addiction. The more you see, the more you want to see. And, you know, I remember when I was real little, I found a Playboy magazine in my father's room, and my mom caught me with it, and Dad set me down, and he said a little stuff to me. I don't remember. But I do remember probably when I was 10 or 12, he got a hold to a calendar from an auto repair shop that had nude women on it and gave it to me, and that hung in my room for a year.
Oh, my word.
And I just, you know, not that I'm blaming him. I don't blame him, but, you know, they didn't take the steps they should have took, and I still struggle with it every day.
Gerald, God bless you for your testimony. I want to ask you real quickly before we go in this break, are you a Christian? Are you a believer in Christ?
Yes, sir, I am.
God bless you. Are you in a healthy, gospel-believing, Bible-preaching church?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I just want to...
I feel that I am anyway.
Yeah, I just want to exhort you, I want to urge you in the strongest possible words to go see your pastor right away and tell him about this problem and get in an accountability process to help you get out of this, not just with some kind of therapeutic method, but with direct confrontation of the Word of God. No man can get out of this alone, I can tell you this. And Gerald, God bless you. You are a courageous man to call and give that testimony. And I got to tell you, I think it's going to inform a lot of parents and tell them what they needed to hear. I'll be right back. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back, folks. We've obviously struck a nerve in talking about this problem of pornography and especially focusing on parental responsibility. The call, for instance, from Gerald there was priceless. And the big question now is, what are you going to do about the problem now that you've been warned about it, just in terms of specific information, but also by personal testimonies of persons who have been caught up in this? Your sons are vulnerable. And it is our parental responsibility to deal with this. I want to mention a couple of agencies, organizations that can help. A couple of websites. We'll put this up on the resource page. The first is CovenantEyes.com. It's just spelled out, CovenantEyes.com, a great reporting program. Also, ContentWatch.com. and BeSafeHome.com. That's just B-N-O-E, BeSafeHome.com. We'll put those kind of things up. Also, I want to refer you to a major address I gave at Boyce College related to this, speaking just to the guys of the college about what pornography is, what it does, and how we as Christians must think about it. And it's a man-to-man talk. It is real clear. Just understand that's what it's intended to be. But it is now one of the most downloaded documents on our entire web system. You can find that also on our webpage. You can go to Albert Moeller, that's MOHLER.com. Go to Sermons and Addresses, or you can just look at the resources for this program, and all the links will be up for that. The problem of pornography is so vexing, because you have to know that not only is it immediately and pervasively available, it also it gets its tentacles all around an individual. And don't think you can get your way out of this. Don't think you can just pray your way out of this alone. It's going to take an accountability process. The Bible's clear. If we confess our sins, He, that is, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you got to go for help. Young person, if you're involved in this, and especially young man, go to your dad. If you're living at home, go to your dad. If you're a college student, go to your dad. Go to a minister of the church. Go to a trusted Christian man who can help you get into an accountability process. Pastors, if your church doesn't have a formal, organized way of dealing with this, then you are just leaving the back door of your church wide open to losing some of your best leaders, some of your best men to this problem. And you're losing them young. You need to have accountability process. You need to have clear teaching on this issue. You need to make certain you know where your people are. And moms and dads, be sure that you take this seriously. Look into what kind of software you want. You can go to websites like Focus on the Family and others where you can find all kinds of recommended resources. Take this seriously. Don't be like so many of those who have to write me after they're involved in this, heartbreaking letters of how they struggle with this every single day and want to get out of it, but don't know where to go for help. Getting help is important. But staying away from the problem in the first place and protecting our children's eyes and hearts is even more urgent. We'll be back next week for a full 5 days of putting truth on the line. This is the Albert Moeller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Moeller's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.